It is my great pleasure today to have with me an individual who has lived a life I hope never to live, sadly, but she's living it in a really great way, so it's kind of an interesting story. Meg Dermody is the mother of Finn and Shay. She grew up in South Paris. She's an artist and an art teacher. Her husband grew up in Portland. Their family became involved with Camp Sunshine the year after Finn's diagnosis with high-risk medulloblastoma, which is a brain tumor, for those of you who don't know. And the high-risk thing, that kind of scares me. So this is what I mean when I say you're living at least that part of it. That is the part of the life that I have always, as a mother, thought, I don't know how people do it. I guess you're going to tell us. Tell us about Finn.
How do we do it? Oh, all of a sudden, one day, your world changes. It comes to a screeching halt. It happened when Finn was in kindergarten. He was just started. He was 5 years old. And you're living a completely simple, normal life. And he was diagnosed. We just ended up in the ER all of a sudden to find a brain tumor. He would wake up. And his symptoms were showing for about 3 months. He would wake up and vomit here and there and frequently. We didn't know what was going on with Finn. And you asked me how do I do it? I guess is the question. And you don't have a choice. It just happens. And you as a mom know that you do anything for your kids, no matter what the situation is, and you just move forward.
Well, I think about this, I think I've mentioned on the show before for people who are listening that I have always felt it important to support the causes of the Maine Children's Cancer Program and the Center for Grieving Children. And mostly I would do this as a doctor. I knew it was important, but it was also like kind of warding against anything happening to my children. And pretty much as soon as I got pregnant with my oldest, who is now 22, I began to fear the thing that all parents fear, which is that something will happen to mm-hmm. my child. But you're talking about the reality of something really bad happening to your child.
Yeah.
And watching him go through this illness and not knowing really what's wrong and then finding out something's really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're right, there's no choice. It is what it is.
Yep.
This is still your child that you love. And you have to move forward with it. But this is just so, I guess, unfathomable for most parents, really.
It is. You kind of go into shock when it happens, I would say. To have everybody around me supportive. My family, like I said, I grew up in Maine. My husband grew up in Maine. So all of my family was close by. So they were there to kind of pick up the pieces that kind of fall apart when it happened. I mean, like I said before, like you kind of float through life in a normal pace. Like you wake up, you send the kids to school, everything's just da 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 da, and it just falls apart because your new life is in the hospital every day, day in and day out. And something like cancer, it's not an appendix or anything like that. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Our oncologist would say that to us. To take our time and pace it, and you have to. We had amazing social workers next to us, who would just say, "You are your home." Because I struggled with that, because you know, as a stay-at-home mom, I mean, I create my home, and I value it so much. So just to be ripped apart from your home, your family, your routine, and she said to me, "You are their home." So, you are. For your kids, you are home. So to keep that love around my kids, and that was kind of my philosophy going through the whole thing. I was pretty calm going through the whole thing, and it was just, here, we're gonna make home here now. This is our new normality, and we're just gonna do it.
Now, the way you described Finn going into kindergarten was very talkative and curious and vivacious and kind of ready to take on the world. And it was the fall of his kindergarten year that he started having these episodes of vomiting, and you were just knowing that something wasn't really quite right with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he needed to have surgery.
Yeah.
And his personality changed, and actually his whole physical self really changed after that.
Completely changed. I felt it's as this is what's very sad. I felt like I lost my child for months, because after surgery, some kids, it's when they go into that area of the brain, you don't really know the outcome. But Finn had a condition called posterior fossa syndrome, and it's just basically the trauma that's left after the surgery. And he couldn't walk, he couldn't talk. He was mute for about 2.5 months afterwards. He couldn't move his arms and legs. His first sentence, though, after he did start talking, was, "Where's my iPad?" So we got that a kick. He was like, "Finally, I can say, get me my iPad." But that was my biggest struggle, was just not being so afraid that he didn't know what was going on. Not to be able to communicate with your child, not to reassure them. That's the only way I could show him that we're all here, family was here. I'd bring in lamps in the hospital room and make it as homey as possible, and no one would ever leave his side. Either Tim or I were right there with him. We were passing ships in the night. Our family kind of just broke apart. We weren't all together all the time. We were when we could. Shayla was 1 year old at the time, and she loved it. She loved the playroom and child life services, and everybody at Barbara Bush is amazing. We did most of our treatment at Barbara Bush, and then we went down to Boston for other things. But
yeah, you described that you were still nursing her when you found out about this. So in addition, you're still trying to have you're trying to help your 1.5 year old with her normal development, normal nourishment, and then you're struggling with this other situation.
Yeah,
but it's interesting that she just didn't know any difference. So she was just as happy. There's a playroom.
It was normal for her.
Exactly. There's people to talk to you. There's people to interact with.
It was exciting for her. And, which is strange, but we think about, and we talk with many families at Camp Sunshine. Everybody has different experiences. And the kids that, if they're already in a routine, like going to school, it's harder on them. So for Shayla to be that age and her personality, it didn't disrupt her too much. So we were, I don't want to say grateful, really, for that situation. But
so Camp Sunshine, I'm interested in this. I went and visited, and they do have an amazing structure, physical plant. They have boats on the waterfront, and they have just a beautiful pool area, and then they have great people working there. They have great volunteers. But it seems like what families have described predominantly is getting back a sense of normalcy and getting back a sense of just the importance of the family unit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, it does give you back some normalcy. I mean, one of our first things we did when we because Finn's treatment was pretty intense, like most brain tumors, we just lived in the hospital. We waited to do all these things until after his treatment. One of the things was a Make-A-Wish trip to Disney. And I had said to you earlier, it's comparable to that. It's Finn's childhood was ripped away for about a year and a half. He missed out on kindergarten. So to have these opportunities like Camp Sunshine, you go and the whole family is treated. You're all given that attention, and just to be able to relax a little bit and not have to worry about everything and know that your kids are, the volunteer ratio is amazing, and to have that relief of my kids are being taken care of, I can relax as a parent.
What are some of the activities that you enjoyed doing?
For me or for my kids?
Well, both, really.
Oh, the activities at Camp Sunshine. It's really simple stuff. Like, they have this thing called the Super Duper Blooper Games, and that's hilarious because it's just the adults divided into teams. You're never on the team with your spouse. And you do silly games like the kids do, like pass the hula hoop through a circle. It's good, just simple fun that just makes you laugh. And laughing and just relaxing is an amazing healing process. It's refreshing, it's revitalizing. So that's a funny one to do. And there's a Love Cup trophy at the end, which is very sought after. And the other activity is always the parents' discussion group. It's always nice to just get to know who's in the group that session, hear their stories, help if you can. They can help you continue to support the community that's kind of growing there within the families. And for the kids, you know, Finn was, he's in a new age group this year, and so he's in the 9 to 12s, and, you know, he did different things. He did the rock wall, the challenge course. So they're amazing opportunities for him to grow, because the side effects of a brain tumor are pretty severe, and we struggle with them. Even though he's in remission for 3 years, this cancer doesn't leave, he doesn't go away. And that's why Camp Sunshine is so nice. You can always come back. It doesn't end.
Yeah, in our conversation, you were saying that Finn has really noticed some of the things that have been impacted by his brain tumor, like maybe his balance isn't quite what mm-hmm. he would like it to be. And if, as you're, you know, if you're a 9-year-old, you're out there playing sports with your friends mm-hmm. or even just walking down the hall at school. So some of these things that, I mean, yeah, you can get rid of the brain tumor, you can be in remission, but there's still after effects that these kids deal with on an ongoing basis.
Yep.
So how about Shayla? How did she like Camp Sunshine? And how does she like Camp Sunshine?
She loves it. She looks forward to every time. Every time we come back, she asks when we're going again. She's a little social butterfly, so she makes friends very easily. She picks out one right away when she gets there. So, I mean, she loves it. It's no question. She's going to grow up there. I mean, we'll continue to go throughout Finn's development, and, you know, hopefully, like, when they're all grown up, being so close, I'll come back and volunteer. And a lot of families do that. When they get to a place, they'll come back.
And you're now at the stage where you were with Finn when
yes.
Finn was diagnosed this fall.
Yes.
Is where you are with Shayla.
Yes.
Does that bring anything up for you?
It did. I did pretty well, actually. When she got on the bus, I'm doing well now. It was before, I would say, probably around May, I was getting a lot of reoccurrence of, is this, knowing it wasn't going to happen again, but just experiencing the marker of when it happened to Finn. And I guess, I think what really hits home is just having not known for so long with Finn. It went for 3 months before we knew, so just kind of, it falls back to that time of we didn't know and this is going to happen. So, but I'm doing okay. So, because it won't happen again to Shayla, so.
Yeah, it's not really a genetic cancer.
No, it's not. There are some brain tumors that are, that they have to test a sibling for, but his is not one of them.
And then you also have, you have that possibility, that's the sort of the echoes of what happened with one of your children and that possibly causing you to worry a little bit about the other child. But you've described Finn as being, he's in remission.
Mm-hmm.
I think you told me that you have to be 5 years out before you're considered to be a survivor.
Yes.
And they're still following him on a very regular basis.
Yes, we just graduated to every 6-month scan. Before we were every 3 months, every 4 months. We were every 3 months for about over 2 years, just maybe 2 years, yeah, and then we went to 4 months.
So for you, this isn't something that ever really goes away. It's, nope. You know, there's always the next appointment and you want to, you know, get yes. to the next clean scan, to the next clean bill of health.
Yeah.
It's something that just, it's kind of there.
Yeah, and a lot of follow-up care with all the side effects. It's hearing, it's vision. His vision was affected. A lot of things. We know a lot of doctors.
And you've done occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy. And from what our conversation, you said he's graduated out of a lot of therapies, but he's mm-hmm. still being cared for and supported.
Yep.
So, I guess I wonder how this has impacted you and your husband, because it's not an easy thing to go through this in a family. And everybody, you know, you focus on the child that is really being impacted, or if it's cancer or any sort of major illness, you focus on the one who's having
right.
the thing wrong with them. But then there's a whole other set of dynamics that goes on. And if you and your husband were ships passing in the night for some period of time, and you're trying to raise two small children, and he's trying to work, and how did that go for you?
It wasn't without stress, I'll tell you that, because we handled it very differently. I mean, Tim and I love each other very much, and we have that foundation of love. So it never, I mean, it's really hard to go through that, and some couples don't make it because it's so stressful. But we had two different ways of handling it. We complement each other nicely, and he was the one. He's an engineer. He was the one making sure everything was done, written down, and don't miss this, don't miss that. And I was more of the nurturer, the caretaker, and just kind of focusing on, okay, we don't have anything to worry about, so I'm not going to worry. So I kind of remained calm. He was a little bit less calm. And it caused a lot of stress because, just calm down, Tim, calm down. But just like the diagnosis, you muddle through it and you get your space, and we come back at the end and we're grateful and we hug each other that we have Finn. I mean, the night before surgery was just horrifying, just looking at each other, looking into each other's eyes, not knowing if we were going to lose our child the next day. I mean, just facing that was horrible. So it wasn't without difficulties, but we did it. The nurse staff would joke to see who was on. Is Meg on? Is Tim on? Oh, Meg's on. Okay, good.
Oh, poor Tim.
he makes sure everything's done. He won't let anybody slide,
Well, I think that's an important point, is that in most couples, in most families, there's a set of relationships that are, if it works well, are very complementary.
Yes.
So, in some ways, you're right. You could be who you were. He could be who he was. And you were both able to really contribute something significant to keeping your family going.
Yep.
I'm assuming that's kind of why you got together in the first place, is that you complimented each other well.
I think we do. And at the heart, there's love. So, I mean, that just holds us together. We just start undying love for each other and for our kids. So.
And Camp Sunshine actually has an emphasis on the parents as well. Isn't there a parents' night out? And
yes, with karaoke. Sober karaoke.
Wow. Well, tell me about that.
It's really funny. It's like I said, it's more laughs. I mean, they have a nice parent dinner. They take the kids out. They do the 9 to 12 year olds do an overnight, so Finn got to do that. And then they take the younger ones for a movie late, so it goes till about 10. They serve us usually turkey and stuffing and a really nice dinner. They have the tablecloths out. They hire a karaoke DJ, and it's always interesting. It's usually a lot of people setting everybody up for ridiculous songs, so more laughs, which is very healing.
Which song did you sing
this past one?
Mm-hmm.
I was set up for Pink.
Pink?
Yes, because I had pink hair at the time.
Okay. How'd it go?
It was fun.
It seems like that would be important, that you'd have to kind of laugh about some of this stuff while you're going through.
Humor is important. And, you have to kind of develop an interesting sense of medical humor going through it that normally you wouldn't joke about, but just kind of have to.
Yes. I when I was going through my own set of surgeries and looking at the various, what that would mean over time, like the actual, like the drains that would be coming out of my body and the scars that would be left, I would just have to look at it and be like, I could cry about this, but this kind of ridiculous really in the end. And so if you can laugh about it, if you can get to that place, it can somehow help you heal, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe a little harder when it's a child of yours, I guess.
It's hard. We probably took it out in the residents mostly, but.
Well, tell me about that, because I did my training at Maine Medical Center, and it was Barbara Bush, the Children's Hospital, had just been completed.
Right.
And I remember that the nurses were so very protective of the patients, especially the patients with cancer. They did not want us experimenting on these children in any way whatsoever. And as a resident and a medical student, I never wanted to experiment, but, you know, there is some educational aspect to some of this, and you don't have the same long-term relationship that, say, a nurse might. But in the end, I felt like the team that developed around a patient, a child, a family, could really be very strong and helpful and supportive. What was your experience like?
They definitely become part of your, they become family, especially the nurses, because they are very protective, and you get to know them, when, especially when you spend that much time in the, we lived there. So the nurses were just amazing there, and your doctors, I mean, everybody that plays a role. And the residents were nice too, but Finn would, you know, the thing with residents is they change all the time. So then you get miscommunication. So when Finn couldn't talk and he would, you know, he'd hit and he just didn't have a way to express himself. So I'm like, that's okay, Finn. You can hit the residents.
Well, I guess that makes sense. If you're a 5-year-old and people are coming in to poke and prod you.
When they come in and poke and prod, very early in the morning, we're like, just please leave. But,
you know, that was one of the things that the nurses were, and I have so much respect for the nurses, and I say that the nurses trained me as a doctor. It wasn't just the other doctors who trained me. It was really everybody that I interacted with, including the nurses. But the nurses on the pediatric floor, I remember they were very strict about when you could go in and look at a child's vital signs, that when you could go in and actually examine a child. And our doctors, who are sort of the ones in charge of us, would expect that we would have all this stuff done by the time we would do rounds.
Right.
But the kids weren't always available to us. So as a resident, a medical student, I remember it was like this very interesting place to be, like wanting to be so respectful of the nurses and the families and the patients, and then having this other, these other people who are like, well, we don't really care. You still need to get all this information before you do rounds.
Right.
But that's, you know, it's interesting to hear you talk about it from your perspective, because if I was a parent and I was laying there in the bed with my child who had just had surgery, I'd be exactly the same way. Don't wake up my kid.
Yeah.
You know, don't poke and prod him. Don't you think he's been through enough? I think I'd feel exactly the same way.
Yeah. They take vitals a lot.
Yeah.
Just get to the point when Finn would just hold out his arm when someone would walk in. Here, take my blood pressure.
And he remembers this.
He remembers a lot. More than I ever thought he would. They always would reassure us that he won't remember any of this. And he remembers a lot.
Well, if he was very curious and engaged, and he was five when he went into this, then there's some, I would guess, that his brain structure is kind of set up to still be curious and engaged.
Yeah.
So he talked to you about any of this ever?
He'll just randomly, out of the blue, he'll just be like, remember when, I remember this movie. This movie was playing when I was laying in the hospital bed. Or remember, Nani, my mother, would bring these Sun Chips in, like, because when he wasn't eating, like, then he would eat Sun Chips. And so he remembers these little blips. And he remembers before, too, which is the hard part. He knows where he was. So turning 9, it's difficult to watch your child understand that they have these deficits because they had cancer, because they had brain surgery.
So what does he remember from before that he misses now?
Running fast, not falling. I think those are the big things, because we're trying soccer this fall, and it's difficult, and he's a little nervous. He wanted to try it, so. Very simple things that your kids do that you kind of take for granted when something doesn't happen, so. Even I did. Not completely, but.
Yeah, I'm thinking about when my kids were 9 and they were doing soccer, and just you're already, there's some layer of, you know, I guess stress over just that.
Yeah.
And just to add that other thing that you're talking about, it's really and it's an ongoing question.
Yep.
So I'm just curious, as you were going through this with your son and with your family, what were some helpful things that people did or said when, for you? Because I think that there's always this question, like, I know that this terrible thing is happening. I don't know what to say. And maybe I won't say anything. What were things that people, when they reached out to you, what was useful to you, or what meant something to you?
I guess everybody's individual way of expressing their support and their love speaks, even if it wasn't anything specific, whether you're religious or not. I mean, just people praying, not you, but in general, just people thinking about you, really, it carries you a long way. People, my sister set up a supportive meals, so just having people bring in food, feed us, take care of little things at the house. People's individual ways of just showing that they're thinking of you in whatever way that it is, whether it be big, whether it be creating a fundraiser, or just, you know, our local librarian bringing over books for us because we don't go to the library anymore. I mean, things like that.
So it sounds like in your mind, there's not really a wrong answer.
I don't think that's a wrong answer.
And is that similar with the volunteers at Camp Sunshine? Is just if they're willing to be there, they're willing to show up?
Yeah. And they're amazing. I always want to take them home with me because they're all just thrilled to be there. They become such it's a relationship between the families and the volunteers. Something magical happens there at Camp Sunshine, and we all get something out of it. You think it would be the saddest place on the earth, and it's not. There are very sad times, but everybody appreciates a lot of things, so you kind of leave the normal life of just the day-to-day, all those little things that people, like, fuss about, and it disappears at Camp Sunshine. It just disappears, so that's why we never want to leave.
How many years have you been going there now?
Just, 2013, summer of 2013, so 2 years. Yep.
And you get to go until Finn's 18.
I don't know. Is that it?
Well, I think so. I think that they...
I haven't looked at that part yet.
Well, I'm just thinking you've got a good long time ahead of you.
Yeah, we do. That would make sense. Yeah, because the teen group, they would graduate out of the teen group.
And then from what I understand, and I could be wrong, so people who are listening, if I'm wrong, I'm owning it right now. But from what I'm understanding, then there are other ways that you can go back, even if your child has gotten to aging
out. A lot
of
people come back and volunteer. A lot of patients come back and volunteer.
Well, Meg,
it's a family.
It does. I always learn something from my conversations, and I really appreciate your taking the time out of your very busy schedule. I know you put the kids on the bus this morning, you know, you're trying to juggle all of this stuff, and you're willing to come in and talk. I'm going to give a shout out to your husband because I certainly want him to know that he's with us here in spirit. You represented him well.
You're here, Tim.
That's right. You're here, Tim. but I appreciate your talking with us and sharing with us what this has been like to go through. And I encourage people to think about what you might be able to do yourself or people in your community who have children with cancer or even any other sort of serious illness, whatever it sounds like, according to what Meg says, whatever it is that you can do will be appreciated. And maybe even a Camp Sunshine volunteering position, maybe even that. We've been speaking with Meg Dermody, who is the mother of Finn and Shayla and wife of Tim and artist and advocate for Camp Sunshine. Thanks so much for coming in and talking with me today.
Thank you.